Welcome to this week's episode of Wrestling Banter with Angry Mark Dave. So today's show is going to be all about the fallout from Money in the Bank last night that took place. I have to say, overall, liked the show. Thought it was pretty solid. Had a few throwaway matches, a few duds that, you know, just to take up time, I guess. But overall, solid show. Everyone really performed extremely well. So on today's show, I'm going to go over the matches on the main card, and I'm going to give them my ranking, just my personal opinion. And what I do about that is I go off storytelling, the flow, crowd reaction, and execution. So to start this thing off, we're going to jump right in. I'm going to go ahead and do the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which I have to say, going into these types of matches with the women, I tend to keep a low expectation. So that way, when they surprise and when they shock me, I get into it and I can enjoy it. If I expect too much, normally they're going to fall short. So it's just these type of matches are difficult, and sometimes they don't always flow real well, like in my opinion, when it comes to the women. But these women killed it. For me, at least. They were doing a ton of spots, hitting on the ladders, throwing each other into ladders. I mean, tons of stuff that I thought was just awesome. I did have the one issue with Carmella and the selling of her knee and then kind of pushing Mandy Rose off and telling her to leave her alone. That didn't make much sense to me. I don't know if the injury was legitimate. Normally, they will do the left side of the body when it's kayfabe. So I don't know, but she did come back out. Don't really know. But I just didn't like that. I thought it kind of, it wasn't very professional no matter what. What was Mandy Rose's point to stop punching her just because she pushed her and said, get off me? I mean, I would have maybe punched her more if I was her. So that's my point. It didn't make a lot of sense. I thought it kind of put a little sour note on that. But other than that, hey, curveball. Bayley wins the Money in the Bank ladder match. Didn't see that one coming. I had thought that Nikki Cross was going to win. And maybe they do an angle where Alexa then tries to take the briefcase from her because, you know, she was filling in for her. I thought that would have been really cool and allowed Nikki to get some more exposure on TV. Maybe go a little bit darker with her character again or crazy. But they went another route. Fine with it. They went Bayley. Crowd was behind it. For me, overall, I'd say, based off of the criteria, probably about 3.5 stars for me for that match. Thought it was solid. I thought they did really well. And people got to shine. And that's Naomi looked good. Dana Brooke looked good. Mandy looked good. I dug Sonya Deville carrying her up there. And ultimately, Bayley came out looking the best, and that was a foreshadowing for what was going to take place later on in the night, but very, very well done. I'm going to go over the steel cage match with Miz and Shane. I expected a little bit more out of this one, so obviously it didn't register as much. I didn't quite think it was as physical as I would have liked. I'm hoping that they're going to use Shane's constant running away, which I thought was hilarious. And then maybe whether or not the ref made the mistake on the pinfall where, you know, he called a rope break, which you're not supposed to. I'm hoping that even if that was a mistake, doesn't matter if it was meant to be there or if it wasn't. If they can turn this into Miz proving that Shane McMahon like paid off the referee to help him, genius. And then the way they finished it with him sliding out of his damn shirt, absolute genius. I didn't see that's how they were going to finish it at all. I was shocked. I laughed. I mean, I feel bad for Miz. He keeps getting these screwy losses to McMahon. So when the ultimate payoff comes and he beats the holy shit out of him, I think it's going to be good. For me, I'd have to say maybe 3 stars. and maybe 2.7. It just didn't register with me as much as I thought it was. I was excited about the match. It just didn't register as much with me. So I'd have to probably say about two and a quarter or 2 3/4 or 3 stars for that match. Next up, I'm gonna go with the Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans. Thought it was a fantastic match. I don't think it was the best match, but we really haven't got to see too much of them together, and Lacey's still coming up. But I thought that was a fantastic match. A lot of physicality. Lacey looked like a star. Becky, of course, looks like a star. I'd give that a 3. I don't think that was the strong. I think the Charlotte, when I get to that, the Charlotte and the Becky just was more compelling. It's just the way it unfolded. You know, she beats Lacey, and then, bam, here comes Charlotte. So I'm going to jump right into that one next. I'm going out of order. It's all right. These are just the matches that that really stuck. Charlotte and Becky tried to absolutely kill each other. Fantastic physicality. Really well done. Well executed. I love that Charlotte came down right after that match and was like, nope, get back in the ring. Let's do this right here, right now. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was great. I did not like Charlotte winning again. And the whole time, I'm screaming at the damn TV, come on, Bailey. Where's Bailey? Like, I'm screaming. Like, fuck no. Like, Bailey. Here comes Bailey. Here comes Bailey. And at first, I thought maybe they were just going to have a run-in, help make the save. That was going to be that. They weren't going to do anything more with it. And they just teased it. And that crowd was so hot for her to win. For her to cash in. Which is crazy to me. Cashes in. Drops that elbow. 1, 2, 3. Oh, such a jubilee. I felt good. I'm not a big Bailey fan anymore. I don't like the way she's been used on the roster. I think she could incorporate more things and adapt and change. But I was excited because, gosh darn it, I'm so tired of seeing Charlotte win titles. Best woman on there, but I don't think she needs to be already a 9-time champion. I do think it's hilarious that her 9th title reign lasted like 5 minutes. So that's a little something there. But yeah, overall, I thought the way they did these two matches with Lacey and Charlotte, and even Lacey getting involved to help Charlotte win, which I thought was genius. And I honestly hope that we see those two down the line, possibly tagging together and going after those women tag. That would be a formidable tag team, in my opinion. But yeah, overall, I thought if you want to, we could combine both matches because it was like one giant match. The whole thing was one giant match, is the way they kind of played it out. So if I go from that standpoint, I'd probably say a 4.5 just for everything. The way they did stuff, I thought was really good. They captured a moment with Bailey and they immediately executed on it. Didn't waste any time for her to lose any steam. They just went and ran with it. So I thought that was good. Standalone Charlotte and Becky's match, I'd still probably get about 3.75. Maybe 4 stars. Solid match. A lot of physicality, a lot of emotion, a lot of good storytelling, great flow. And they executed really well, I believe. So that was a really good match for them. Next, I'll go with the Cruiserweight title. I have to admit, I only watched a little bit of it. I did see Aria Daivari. I kind of mess up one little spot. Nothing that I thought was too out of the, you know, too detrimental. I didn't really get into it. Aria Daivari is not the one I want to get into. I like Tony Nese, but I thoroughly miss Buddy Murphy. So they're going to need to build some new stars up over there, and I'm hoping they do. And I know they're trying that with Daivari, but I think I much would have preferred Drew Gulak versus Nice. That just would have been my preference, or even Mike Bennett, just giving him a shot. So for me, I didn't get too excited, wasn't too into it. I don't think it was a bad match, but I'd say maybe 2.5. Just it didn't really, there wasn't much for me to get into story-wise. It just wasn't, I just couldn't sink my teeth into it. Then we'll go Seth and AJ. I'm going to go with Match of the Night. They're getting Match of the Night. I thought they did an outstanding job. And we've all seen what AJ's dream matches have turned into, because I think expectations have been so fucking high that when he goes in there, if it's anything less than all the way up here, that what we expect and we thought, it's a failure. And it's not. It's not. It's just, I think if you go into wrestling and you keep low expectations of what you're going to see, they're always going to blow you away. You know, if you go in with such high expectations, you're never going to be satisfied. But I thought Match of the Night, hands down, execution, the storytelling, the just rage towards each other. Like, they were just going at it. They flowed so damn well. So damn well. My roommate said it was basically a reincarnation of Brett versus Shawn. Is that how he viewed it? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's to me, that's a pretty good comparison. So I enjoy it thoroughly. I thought it was a great match. I love that we got so close to seeing maybe AJ was going to win. Maybe. They definitely made you think that there was a possibility AJ was going to win. And that's the point. And Seth came out on top. And I have to admit that I didn't necessarily dislike the handshake. I didn't really like it, but it still, there seemed to be enough contention there. It wasn't a handshake of like, oh man, love you, bro. Like, it was kind of like, yeah, all right, motherfucker, you got me. All right, I'm coming back. You know, that's what it felt like. It was a contentious handshake. So I can't wait to see this farther down the road. I really can't. So for me, Match of the Night, I'd probably say 4.5 stars is what I'd have to get. Execution was great. Crowd reaction was great. Flow. I wish we'd had a little bit more, I guess, to a story than what we had. Great storytelling, but there just wasn't a real story there where I really would, like, say it was all five. Like, it just wasn't 100% there. And maybe we'll get that down the road. I thought... I don't know what happened with Samoa Joe and Ray's match. I liked it that Ray won. I don't think that it was called because of the nose. I think that they're trying to drag Dominic into the storyline, which I think is excellent. And then having Joe just beat the shit out of Ray after the match and making his son watch. And then the warning he even shot after the match on Twitter, I thought was really good. So to me, maybe they called it early. And I mean, clearly Joe's shoulder was up, but that can all further go into the storyline and further make Joe more pissed off, more just sinister, nasty, and just brutal. So we'll see where that goes. It was short. There wasn't much of a flow except for the blood that was pouring out of Joe's nose. Sadly, I tried to look. I couldn't tell if it was broken or not. His nose is kind of big anyway, so couldn't really tell if it's broken. But so for me, 2.75 is what I had to say. Like, it's just nothing really. I'm excited for the possibilities of what could go forward and how they're going to incorporate Dominic. But other than that, didn't really get too far into it. Kofi and Kevin. WWE Championship. Thought it was a good match. I thought both of them brought a lot. Kevin had such an intensity just brought to the table. And Kofi, the ultimate scrapper. I thought they did a lot of things right. I mean, I loved Kevin taking his shoes and throwing them in the crowd. Kevin, just the maneuvers and the stuff he was doing on the outside, outside frog splash. Just, you know, even throwing him into the railing and then Kofi crashing to set all that up was great. Kofi sold it like a champ. And then finally, the Trouble in Paradise took them out. 1, 2, 3. I don't like the false stunners. You do it once, that's fine. You do it again, I think it's a little much. That's like, to me, was the dirty deeds, the false dirty deeds. Just looked ugly. Just looked ugly. I thought it just didn't need to be done so many times. I have to say, that's probably about 3.75 stars for me for that match. Wasn't anything that great. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything that I would say, holy crap, I'm going to watch this match over and over again. Yeah. So, glad to see Kofi still champion. I think it's the right move, right decision. No complaints there. So we'll see where they're going to go forward, because, you know, now Daniel's the tag champ, so he's out of that, and I'm just curious of where they're going to go with, you know, after our next match. Oh, well, never mind. Should I even talk about Roman and Elias? Oh, poor Elias. That dude, so over. And he gets, like, 2 second match. That's the greatness that is Elias, though. That happens, and for whatever reason, people still want to see him. Like, it doesn't hurt him at all. There's something about that guy that it just doesn't hurt him. Roman did short work, made a nice paycheck, walked back home, you know, got hit with a nice guitar shot, sounded good, looked good. Then I liked that Elias played with his electric guitar. I thought that was different. But overall, this doesn't even deserve any rating at all. It was funny. It was entertaining. It's not what I was expecting. Maybe they cut it for time. Don't know. But, you know, you gotta have stuff like that. Like, you know, later on, Lars and Lucha House Party, which made no sense to me. But, I mean, he bled, so we got to see some blood twice in one night. So I guess, are we going back to a hardcore age? Is that what they're doing? They're gonna show some blood? Is Mick Foley gonna show up tonight and say, hey, bring it back, the hardcore title? I don't know. I wanted to see him come back and announce the unifying of the women's title. That's what I wanted. But doesn't look like that's gonna happen now. So Becky Two Belts is no longer. Main event time, men's Money in the Bank ladder match. God, now those dudes tried to beat the holy crap out of each other. Every single one of those performers did great, in my opinion. There's not a single one where I would say was the weak link. Drew looked like a beast. Finn, Ricochet, Andrade, they all look like the scrappy underdogs. Looked really good, especially just some of the moves, some of the stuff they were pulling off. I mean, damn, Ricochet went through that damn ladder on the outside. Finn nearly bounced himself out of the ring. I thought that shit was hilarious. I mean, they knew it wasn't going to break. It didn't have a hard enough surface. It was on the ropes, but that shit was funny as crap. Good spot, too, in my opinion. Randy pulling off the RKO, I thought was sweet, too. I can't remember who he pulled off the ladder. I want to say Drew. Yeah, I think it was Drew. But Baron being teased as the one who was going to win it, and people just started shitting all over it. Like, he's climbing up the ladder, boo, like, he's got that heat. No matter what anyone could say, man, those people hate him, and that's all that matters. He gets it every time. Does not matter. And it's sustained. He hasn't lost a bit of it. It's not like they've lost interest in him either. But damn, man. Where the hell did Brock Lesnar come from? I know everyone says that he wasn't announced from the match or whatnot. Hey, they didn't announce that they wouldn't have a replacement. Sammy got hung upside down. That's the one I want to figure out. Because if it wasn't Braun, And I originally thought that maybe it had been McIntyre and Corbin, that he had, like, they come up with this idea to hang Sammy upside down, Sammy pretend like he's like really hurt, and then they get Braun really thrown out of the arena. But that's not the way they went with it. Now the spot's open, match's going on, great spots, a lot of physicality. Finn took a lot of abuse. Drew just, like I said, looked like a beast. And here comes Brock. Yeah, I was a little disappointed, but I guess this is how they're going to get us to Seth versus him in Saudi. Unless they give him his rematch and he doesn't cash that in. And then eventually he goes over to Fox or SmackDown and cashes in over there on Fox and it becomes a WWE champion. Never know, man. Never know. I who knows what they're going with this. But ultimately, we get to find out, and that's the great thing about it, is we don't know right now. And everyone keeps saying the wild card rules suck, but ultimately, man, they're not allowing us to figure out exactly what's going on, which makes us question, makes us wonder what's going on. Yes, there needs to be continuity, but at the same point, what's wrong with switching shit up? The problem with the product is it always gets stale. It gets stale to a certain point. So now they're trying to switch it up, and they're giving us what they want, and we're still not happy. So if I had to go for that match, 3.5 star. Well, no. 3.75. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was good. I think Brock winning kind of hurts it because I thought they were really going to have an opportunity to make a star. So a little disappointed by that, but overall, solid. I'd watch it again. I'd actually watch both ladder matches again. I thought they were pretty good. I just can't ever really give like a gimmick match that too high of a rating because it's a gimmick, you know. I tend to view like AJ Styles, Seth Rollins to be more impressive than a gimmick match. So the biggest surprise of the night for me, let's see. Bayley. I did not see Bayley. Now I know Brock comes out and he gets it, but that doesn't really surprise me for whatever reason. But Bayley winning does surprise me. I didn't see it happening. So now for the biggest turd of the night, the biggest piece of shit of the night goes to Brock Lesnar. Because he ruins everything. Like, he just, love him, hate him, whatever. Dude gets a reaction. He's a draw. I get it. But you big old piece of shit. You just, fuck. I wanted Andrade to win that Money in the Bank. I thought that he would have been a perfect person. Would have helped establish him, make him. But fuck. Giant piece of shit called Brock Lesnar. Well, this part of the show now begins the rant of the week. That was really weird. Don't know why I did that. Really thought it'd be cool. I thought it'd come across cool. All right, I'm not ranting about that. So my rant of the week. Is. Brock Lesnar. Yeah. He doesn't want to go to UFC. He doesn't want to fight Daniel Cormier, but he wants to come here and constantly try and take titles. You know what? I hope Mick Foley shows up tonight, creates a title just for Brock Lesnar that can't nobody win, and he could be happy. Seriously. The Universal Beast WWE heavyweight champion of the world. There you go. That's the new title debuting tonight. strictly for Brock Lesnar. Can't nobody win it from him. He will always be strapped. He will always be a champion. Ugh. Brock. They should have let Braun kill his ass a long time ago, and he just drift off in the sunset into Minnesota and do whatever the hell he wants to do there. Too scared to go fight Daniel Cormier, so he has to come back, because I'm pretty sure that Sally Prince said, here's the money, come over here, here's the money. Damn it, dude. Damn it. Ugh, hate it. Hate it. Well, this episode of Wrestling Banter with Angry Mark Dave is coming to an end. I'm going to try and do another one tonight in reaction to Monday Night Raw. I may have a special guest, someone that I follow on Instagram, someone whose content I love and I think is awesome, that wrestling guy. I'm not sure if we're going to get him in tonight or not, but we've already talked and discussed about doing a podcast. So I think that's where we're going to go, hopefully for the next one. In the next show, I'm also going to add a new segment. It's called This Day in Absurd Wrestling History, where I dive into the most absurd things that wrestling has to offer on the day in which I record my podcast, whether that's 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I want to find those absurd things that maybe we don't know about, maybe I don't know about, maybe you don't know about, but things that have happened in wrestling that are just fucking absurd and hilarious, and we can laugh, and we can just remember that wrestling is entertainment. Don't take it so fucking seriously. Sit back and enjoy yourself. Shut your damn mouths. Turn your cell phones off. Turn your Twitter off. Turn whatever else shit that you can send out fucking social media shit on. Social media is the downfall of all America. And it's ruining wrestling. And that's another point for another show that I won't get into, that I feel I can pinpoint. It's not that kayfabe is dead. I feel there's a pinpoint in wrestling history where the fans begin to think that they have some sort of fucking say or some control. And it's absurd. It's absurd. That may be something in the absurd wrestling history. But my point is, sit back, enjoy the fucking product. Don't find fault in it. Don't bitch. Don't complain. Let's see where this shit goes. None of us could step in there and do their job, because I'm pretty sure people would find stuff to complain about then too. Pretty sure people are going to find stuff to complain about when they listen to this podcast and some of the ideas I had. They're just ideas, people. You see what you know, you try something and see if it works. And damn it, wrestling fans are not pure anymore. They're just, every single time somebody shows up, Cesaro last week, hey, he needs to be world champion. I guess they want to have 50 world champions in a fucking 4-week span. Everyone deserves to be world champion. No one deserves shit. You earn it. Point blank. I don't even deserve this podcast. Not even earning it. I'm just winging it. All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. Send in any comments, questions you have. I'll answer them next time. Peace.